Welcome to Nye's Notes. I'm Jerry Nye, the Bible Guy. We're going to continue our study in Romans chapter 8. We finished verse 18, starting back with 19 now. Let me read verse 19 of Romans 8. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Our earnest expectation, that's our hope, our blessed hope of all creature, all creation, mankind, earth. All creation has been cursed in Genesis chapter 3. In verse 14 of Genesis 3, Satan is cursed. Let me read that verse. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. In verse 15, we have the first verse of prophecy. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. That seed there is talking about Christ, and the other seed is talking about Satan. Verse 16, the woman is cursed. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. In verse 17, the curse is made on man and the earth. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Adam's sin brought a curse upon both man and creation. And this curse is still going on today. But there's a greater curse coming, friend. 7-year tribulation at the rapture. Christ comes for his church. The first part of his second coming. At the revelation, Christ comes with his church. He'll come with all the sons of God in verse 19. Says, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. When we return with Jesus at the revelation, the millennium will begin, the curse will be lifted, all creation will be restored to Edenic conditions. Let me read verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. For the creature made subject to vanity, talking about worthlessness or depravity. Sin ruined God's entire creation. The reason for the ruin, because of the judgment God had to put on sin. We have a hope for the rapture. Amen? We have a hope for a revelation to happen. Even so, come Lord Jesus, the Revelator said in Revelation 22. We have a hope for a curse to be lifted. One day it will be. We have a hope for an eternity in heaven with God. And one day we'll be there. That is, all those who have been saved will be there. All those who have been born again will be there. Verse 21 and verse 22, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We have a hope for deliverance, but we're waiting and groaning. What does that groaning mean? A deep sound uttered in pain or sorrow. Are we sorry for our sin? I'm sure Adam is. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Not only creation is waiting and groaning, but those who have the first fruits, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, we also groan, waiting for the adoption. The adoption will be complete when we get our new bodies. Our soul is saved, but not our body. Philippians 3:21. Here's the verse. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Our vile body. We're going to get a new body one day, and when we get that new body, our adoption will be complete. It's not complete yet. Meanwhile, we wait in hope. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? It says we're saved by hope. That's a positive hope. We're saved by our salvation and source of and cause of our hope. We have a hope that what God told us is true. We have a hope that the Bible is right, and we do believe it's right. The definition of this hope is not something visible or something realized now. It's yet to come. It's future. If a man already had something, he doesn't hope for it. We hope for our salvation to be complete, be with Jesus forever in eternity. What a blessed hope that is. The duration of this hope, the greatness of this hope, increases our patience to wait for it. It's worth waiting for. More patience to endure adversity and suffering for living a godly life, and that will bring a godly life. Bring suffering when we live that godly life. Living a godly life will bring persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit's help is mentioned again here. Hope is a great encouragement and help to all believers. So is the Holy Spirit. He helps our infirmities. He helps our weaknesses. He helps our feebleness. The ability to bear trials and troubles. And we do that, don't we? Daily. By helping us to pray. Many times we don't know how to pray or what to pray for. Groanings here shows the seriousness and earnestness of the Holy Spirit in helping us to pray. Which cannot be uttered. The Spirit's groanings may not be understood by us, but God understands them. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When we pray, God knows our hearts. He also knows the groanings of the Holy Spirit for us. Many of our prayers are not according to his will, the will of God. They are the desires of our flesh. God help us. When the Holy Spirit helps our praying, it's always in the will of God. Thank God for his help so many ways, especially in praying. Well, the next verse is a classic verse known by many Christians and been preached on, taught on so many times. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. One of the key verses in Scripture. The phrase we know is in the Bible, in the New Testament, 40 times. We have a know-so book. We have a know-so gospel. We have a know-so salvation and a know-so will of God. We can know the will of God. George Lockerbie says, there are no accidents in the lives of consecrated Christians, consecrated believers. We're saved by a divine power for a divine purpose. Not just to keep us out of hell. He's got a reason for saving us. He's got a will for us. He's got a job for us to do. God has a will for every believer. This sometimes includes suffering. God permits it. God permits suffering to help complete his goal in the lives of his children. Some of our experiences in life are not by chance, but are controlled by the hand of a loving God. They are for our good. They are for our benefit. They are for our blessing. The first part of that verse, that big little word, all things. This includes everything that touches a believer's life. Not a few things. Not just good things, but all things. Sunshine and rain. Gladness and sadness. Good and bad. Whatsoever and whensoever. All things. Work together for good. God does not work most things for good. God does not work all things for good most of the time. God continuously causes all things to cooperate together for good. There is never a time nor a thing that he doesn't use to help achieve his goal in our lives, his perfect will. And sometimes that includes suffering. He knows what is good for us. We don't always know, but he does. Verse 26, we don't always know what to pray for, do we? But the Holy Spirit helps us. We don't always know his will. The Holy Spirit helps us there too. He's continually working all things toward his goal for each believer. Do we have goals? We should. Long-range goals, short-term goals. It says to them that love God in that verse. There are two conditions to this truth, two of them. All things do not work together for good for all men, only those who love God. Those who do not love God and rebel against his word and his will are not included in this promise. Don't claim it. It's not for you. When we love God, it'll be seen in our lives. Church attendance, Bible reading, Bible study, prayer, witnessing, scriptural giving. These are things we should be doing if we love God. What about the things we shouldn't be doing? If we love God, do we love God enough to dress right? Not just on Sunday. Do we love God enough to refuse to support the ungodly entertainment? Do we love God enough where we draw the line between do and don't do? Just because the majority is doing it doesn't make it right. Just because you've made it a norm for a long time doesn't make it right. The judgment seat of Christ is coming. We will answer for how we have lived our Christian life, every one of us, judged according to our works. If we really love God, we'll honor Him and His Word. All these things are good only if we do them because we want to, not because we have to or supposed to. God knows our hearts. How's your want to doing today? The second condition, called according to His purpose. His purpose is the heart of the verse. His will. Those who are doing His will. Only those who are in His will can claim this verse. Are we in God's will today? Here's some questions. Do you know God's will for your life? Are you praying for it if you don't know it? Do you even want to know it? If you do know it, are you trying to obey it? Well, these are some big questions, some important questions. Going to stop right here, friend. Going to pick up next time on verse 29 of Romans 8. God bless you. Share this with other folks. Keep looking up. He's coming back.